Hey, it's your host Brittany, and welcome to the Mom Sweat Sanity Podcast, where we talk all things life, health, fitness, kids, relationships, you name it, nothing is off the table. A little bit of just me and a whole lot of knowledgeable guests. So throw on your Lulus to run or to mom, grab yourself a cup of coffee or a glass of wine, and join us as we unpack life's pressing topics and learn a little bit more of the who, what, whys of it all. Or at the very least, get real, share some wisdom, and grab practical tips to help in our daily lives.
I think that you're so bang on saying too, like sometimes, you know, it is dysmorphia because we don't realize why we're changing all of a sudden and everything. And I was having this thought the other morning. I'm like, seriously, how do I still know what my weight was from high school when it's not even relevant any longer.
You're right. We just hold on to those things. And it's so funny because in high school, maybe not you, but so many girls like think that they're fat at that weight and that they like need to go on a diet and they need to lose weight. And then looking back, you're like, oh my God, why wasn't I just happy? And if I could be that weight now, I'd be so happy.
Oh my gosh. I know. Seriously. Perspective. Mm-hmm. It's always changing. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, let's start, like, just dive in. So thank you, Dr. Alana Polo, for coming on to the podcast. You've been a past guest, but maybe if you want to give a quick little update on what you're doing, where your clinic's at, and then we can dive into this hot topic.
Sure. Thank you again for having me. My clinic is called Polo Health and Longevity Center. We are located in New Westminster. We're just a great integrated multidisciplinary health clinic with naturopathic doctors, medical doctors, acupuncture, aesthetics, counselors, and a pharmacy on site. So lots of great professionals together.
Amazing. You've really grown, I've seen too, over the past few years with all the extras that you can add. So congratulations. That's really exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, as I was mentioning, I love all of your content on social and Instagram specifically. You're just such a wealth of knowledge for so many. And there's so many aspects of what you post that hits hard, especially as, you know, female and hormone. But the other day you were talking about like the body dysmorphia. And I know that ages and stages, we all really, not all maybe, but a lot of us definitely feel dysmorphia in certain stages. And you like hit the nail on the head with this, you know, 40s perimenopausal time. And so I'd love, yeah, your info and insight into this body dysmorphic time for a lot of us.
I think, you know, a large portion of what I focus on is hormonal health, obviously, women going through perimenopause and menopause and the physical changes that come with it, but also like the mental changes that come with it. So, you know, as we age, things feel a little bit out of control, like we're going crazy, like we're moody, we're irritable, we're tired, we're, you know, not sleeping, you know, body temperature is changing, we're hot, we're sweaty, all these things, right? And so that's like mentally, but then the physical aspect also, like without even, you know, changing anything necessarily, like the people who are like, nothing has changed, I'm still eating well and I'm exercising, but I'm just gaining all this weight and I'm gaining all this weight around my midsection or in areas that I've never held weight before. It's a very common thing that I hear as our hormones are changing. And so because it's so out of control, you know, in quotations, and it feels so foreign, I think a lot of women struggle with their body, just composition and, you know, the dysmorphia where they think that, you know, their outside isn't necessarily matching their inside or what their lifestyle looks like.
And as you said, then also feeling like nothing much is changing. However, like internally, a lot is starting to change.
Yeah, we don't realize like estrogen and progesterone and testosterone and cortisol and insulin and all of these hormones that we hear about, but we don't necessarily know what they actually mean or what they do from a metabolic standpoint. You know, the lack of muscle mass or the decline of testosterone is really responsible for the lowered metabolic rate. And estrogen goes hand in hand with fat mass, and progesterone impacts our sleep and our mood, and cortisol is our stress hormone. And a lot of us, I think, you know, going through these perimenopausal years have had long-term chronic stress. And so that cortisol really does impact our energy levels and the way we hold weight in our belly, and insulin as well, blood sugar regulation as we age. It all sort of goes hand in hand, and it's the perfect storm for so many women You know, aside from just the physical feelings, the actual physical body changes are real and they're mm-hmm. really hard to accept. You know, mm-hmm. knowing it is coming is maybe one thing, but then actually experiencing it is another thing.
Absolutely. I mean, I just think back to like the teenage years, right? When we're all we're starting to go through this first initial really big change, and how you have that as teens, like not feeling secure in the skin that you're in. And then like, you know, then maybe you're going through pregnancy and after that, and then again, like it's another one. And now it's like, you would think that we'd know by now.
Exactly. But everything is so different. And I think like the stats actually do show that anorexia or an eating disorder, not necessarily as extreme as anorexia or bulimia, but the general umbrella of eating disorder peaks in adolescence for a lot of young women. And then it actually resolves and peaks again in menopause or perimenopause. So there's that shift in, I think, these two stages of our lives where there's substantial enough change to the body that we just are feeling quite insecure with it.
Yeah, so interesting. So how do you like, are you doing series of blood work or like the urine testing, or like, how do you really dive in to help women sort out if it is specifically hormonal, and how can we help that?
Such a great question. I think this is just the world of functional medicine. A lot of women are going to their doctors, you know, saying or voicing these concerns. And some are just told that you have to live with it. It's natural. It's part of aging. There's not much we can do about it. And some are even given like an antidepressant and said, you know, this is just a time in your life where you might need an antidepressant. But really, we want to look at the root of everything. So as a naturopathic doctor, or if you saw a functional medicine doctor, you know, we practice very similarly. We do a panel of blood tests, urine tests, potentially saliva testing, just to see where all of your hormones are, your estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, and cortisol. I use something called a Dutch test. That's my preference, but I could also do blood. And there's also other ways to test these hormones. And then blood work shows us your insulin, your diabetic markers, your thyroid panel, your iron levels. Like, I think a lot of these values are often overlooked and they might be normal, but not optimal. So it's really about addressing the baseline for a lot of women, looking at blood, looking at hormones, looking at nutrients, looking at gut function, because, you know, in my experience, it really is a whole system approach to health as opposed to piecemealing specific concerns that maybe someone's coming in with.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you say like that, you know, some people just want to give the magic pill, obviously, to like help that, or the anxiety or the depression or whatever, and actually not see like the root cause. I had a conversation not too long ago with my doctor. I'm like, oh, I just feel like I'm not processing like stress and anxiety like I used to. Now it's like everything just feels so heightened. She's like, maybe we should take a look at your progesterone, because that's actually like a change of, you know, hormones. And apparently like heightened anxiety can come across as actually your progesterone levels are changing.
I'm so happy she did that. That's so rare, because when I hear women with the exact same concerns going to their physicians, that's not always the answer they're met with. So
yes,
awesome. That's great. Yes. Yeah. Progesterone is a natural anti-anxiety. So for a lot of women who I see in these hormonally changing years, they come in saying like, out of the blue, all of a sudden I have so much anxiety. I never had a problem driving over a bridge, and now I can't drive over a bridge, or I really have a hard time flying, or my kids and their health and their safety, like there's so much anxiety.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is because of the decline of progesterone. Same with sleeping, dysregulated sleep, restless sleep, waking up in the night when maybe you used to have a very sound sleep. It's all linked to progesterone. And usually in these years, perimenopausally, progesterone declines far more rapid than estrogen. So until you're dealing with the estrogen decline symptoms of like hot flashes and night sweats and vaginal dryness, outside of that, mostly everything leading up to that is a progesterone problem. And if we just, you know, help women with a little baby dose of progesterone early in their 40s, that eases a lot of symptoms going into their late 40s and early 50s.
Oh, that's so crazy how much it actually affects. So then you say, you know, like, and as I'm saying too, like a common complaint as women also age in the body side of things is like that, like midsection, you're like, I'm doing everything, but like, why is that happening? What is like one of the main causes for that section?
it's like the most common thing I hear on a daily basis is like the belly fat, the midsection fat, whatever, you know, you want to call it. It's very multifactorial. The belly can be cortisol. There's this, you know, cortisol belly that we hear about, where when our body is under a lot of stress, physiologically, just as animals, we hoard, we reserve energy for later because our body is under stress. So it just tries to self-protect. And so a lot of that is through the midsection, where we just reserve those stores for later. A lot of it also is insulin, insulin sensitivity, insulin resistance, pre-diabetes. A lot of that comes with belly fat, and estrogen. So, you know, sort of like that triple whammy, where it's a little estrogen, a little insulin, a little cortisol. And we just have to address all of those things, and also not discount the role that exercise plays in all of it. Like having strong abs, having a strong core, a strong chain at the back and the pelvis and everything, like to hold everything in and tight, does require weightlifting and muscle bearing exercises. And that does really help with that belly fat as well.
Yeah, it's so fascinating on that side, right? Like where we grew up in a culture of like, do the cardio, run, walk, like, you know, spin, let's go harder. And now it's like, well, actually, like we know now that we need to lift weights. We need that like strength on our body that actually helps burn the fat longer also, opposed to just, I guess, sloshing it around when you're running.
Yeah. You know, the world of health and wellness evolves constantly. And that's where I feel like even this world of social media, like we're talking about Instagram and all the information, like it's very overwhelming, very conflicting, very contradictory. And so I feel actually like a lot of people are very confused. Like someone will still say, do the cardio to lose weight. And someone else will say, do the weights to lose weight. And I know, because I see and hear, like it's so confusing and complicated for so many women. They actually don't know what to do. They're very confused. And then they also end up just doing nothing because they just don't know. So it's kind of crazy just in this world of wellness, how much things change, and fat is good, fat is bad, cardio versus weightlifting, eggs, you know, meat, plant-based, all of it. Like it's highly complicated. So I think people just have to really focus on the basics. Like weight training is always good. Cardio is still always good for cardiovascular health. Eating whole foods, drinking your water, getting ample sleep, like the basics, right? I think the fundamentals are often overlooked, and they are the basis for everything.
Oh, I totally agree. Like literally just try and move your body, and let's just start there, right? Like, and sleep. I was talking with a client this morning, and we were talking about the sleep. I'm like, she's like, I don't know how I like finally moved this weight like off of my body. I'm like, I think you discredit sleep. Like you're used to doing 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night. And like, that's not something great, right? All of a sudden you're doing 7 to 8 hours of sleep. And not only are you functioning better, your body is like telling you that it loves that more.
Totally. I think people like don't realize, again, from a hormonal standpoint, why sleep is so beneficial, right? Like you're talking about repair and rejuvenation and restoration that has to happen when you're sleeping. So melatonin and serotonin and growth hormone and all of these things that are responsible for your appetite and leptin and ghrelin and all of these hormones that impact your satiety and your hunger centers in your brain. You know, think about when you're tired, you crave sugar, you crave carbs, and you actually do indulge more in carbs and sugars because your body is tired. Whereas if you're sleeping and you're rested, you don't naturally go for the same food. So sleep, like again, at the root of it, the fundamental restoration that comes with sleep and hormonal production is so important to weight loss that people don't realize.
Interesting. So what is your, so I'm coming in to see you, and what is like your first kind of protocol? I think first of all, that just more women and you sharing and all this, like more of us just talking about it to normalize it is always like such a, you know, a positive thing to show that we're not alone. We're all dealing with the same stuff. But so now we're coming in through your door. What are we doing first? You said the Dutch urine, probably, like what, you know, what does that look like? And I know probably different for everyone, but.
Yeah, but you're so right. I mean, like everyone talking about it definitely brings awareness. The world of social media definitely brings awareness for a lot of women who maybe think something is wrong with them or it's all in their head and it's actually not, and very easily treatable and fixable, and that women don't have to suffer. I think that's a big message, you know, that's so important to convey. But as a naturopath, you spend an hour together, which is so different than going to just, you know, your family doctor where you get 7 minutes and one concern. So with us, or with me, our visit is an hour. And we talk about everything, like your diet, your sleep, your energy, your stress, your libido, your digestion, your hormones, your period, your pregnancy history, like everything, because it all impacts where you're at and what we decide to do together. So after an initial history, usually you do end up with some blood work, different than what MSP covers. I think, again, through naturopathic medicine, we do a lot of private testing. So we have access to things that MSP just won't cover. So for instance, a thyroid panel, if you go to your family doctor, you're just getting TSH. But if you go to an ND and you're paying privately, it's about $120, and Extended Health might cover it if you have it. But we're able to check TSH, T3, T4, thyroid antibodies, and all of these things that are often overlooked just going through the system. So you'll go with blood work, potentially a Dutch test, potentially food sensitivity testing or a gut microbiome test, potentially nutrient testing. Like if we, you know, again, if someone comes in saying they're exhausted all the time, which a lot of women are exhausted, my hair is falling out. You know, those are symptoms. We have to look at your nutrients. Are you deficient in certain vitamins? How is your iron levels? Where's your thyroid at? So hormones, and also just then depending on the individual symptoms you're coming in with, it dictates what else we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. So like in depth, and yeah, as you said, definitely doctors just in general, due to time frame, obviously can't and don't offer all of these sources. So that's amazing that you can get all of that info from our bodies, right? We need that.
Yeah, I think it's just so collaborative. Like, I think we really need to just emphasize like the collaborative nature that healthcare in BC especially can be, right? You have, you know, wonderful GPs, wonderful naturopaths, wonderful, you know, acupuncturists and other alternative healthcare providers. And I think that it's all so necessary to be truly optimal, like all of it, mind, body, medicine, and every physician or doctor or like just treatment aspect you can do is helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And mind, as you said, also, I think like so much, like we need to start taking care of our mind at the same time and having those outsources also, because that can also help with the stress and probably in turn help with that cortisol level. And
I think a lot of it is like the stress that a lot of us are experiencing, people coming in with the limit, they're at the capacity, the exhaustion. Like, I also assure people, like, what we're doing is also not physiologic. We're way overscheduled. We're way overfunctioning. We're all at capacity. Our lives are constantly bombarded inside and out, like through social media and the internet and screens and the data that we have to input, but also just the physical stuff we're putting on our plate. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine people not being exhausted and not having energy. And so when I feel this way, because I do a lot, I think just, you know, working full time, running a business, having two young kids, trying to still be a good mom and wife and exercise and see my friends and fit it all in. Like at some level, things have to suffer. I have to say no. I have to, you know, figure out where my stress is coming from and how do I deal accordingly and reroute. And so sometimes, you know, that's taking a step back from exercise. Other times that's doing more exercise. Other times that's, you know, doing more connection with my friends and girlfriends or date nights or less with the kids and less running. I don't know. I think we all just have to really look at that mental piece for sure.
Totally. And really just listen to your body, because it, you know, it does give us those warning signs when it's getting to that point.
Yeah.
So I noticed
a lot of us ignore it, but
yeah,
it's true.
Absolutely. So yesterday you posed some questions on Instagram. So did anyone have anything that you that are hoping to be addressed today, and anything we can share?
Yeah, there was a lot of questions about like menopause, the difference between perimenopause and menopause, proper diets and nutrition for menopausal women, fasting versus not fasting for menopausal women. Those were some key ones that came up quite a bit. Fatty liver. A few people asked about fatty liver.
Yeah. I find fasting is just always a constant conversation. You know, and I know that there's always the, like, the whole no crowd, the whole yay crowd in terms of females and hormones and all of this. So where do you like weigh in on that?
So again, it's a spectrum. Like, just, you know, as we said before, it's not black or white, all or nothing, one size fits all. Fasting is a stress on the body. So for a female who is under a lot of stress, whether, you know, we're dealing with cortisol levels that are imbalanced, she's exhausted and depleted, fasting would actually be the worst thing that she could do, because she's already depleted and she's already dealing with high cortisol, and fasting would be another level of that. So, you know, there's also looking at where you're at and how you're feeling. And if weight loss is your goal and that's the only reason you're fasting, then I think a lot of us look at other ways to lose weight without necessarily putting that stress on your body. But for someone else who isn't dealing with cortisol problems, but rather insulin problems or insulin resistance, pre-diabetes, fasting is a beautiful thing because it really helps get our insulin levels down, manage your blood sugar, and lose weight very effectively. Okay. Yeah, so it just really depends on the person. I like it depending on the right situation.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes sense. And then you've been talking lately about, like, I don't want to say this magic pill, but like the berberine. Am I saying that berberine. Right? Yeah. Tell me about berberine.
So berberine's been around for a long time. I've been using berberine for, you know, many, many years, but recently berberine has been dubbed as the natural Ozempic, we know Ozempic is the new diabetic drug that helps with weight loss by lowering your insulin levels, or it actually slows gastric emptying, so you feel full longer. So berberine actually has a similar mechanism to metformin, which is also a diabetic drug, in that it helps lower your blood glucose levels, your insulin sensitivity. So for many people who don't want to take Ozempic or a prescription drug, berberine is a very safe natural alternative.
Okay, interesting. And you've obviously seen results on it if you're suggesting it to people. Yeah.
Totally. I use it a lot. I personally have used it. The same side effects happen with berberine that happen with Ozempic: digestive upset, nausea, heartburn, bloating and gas. That's a very, you know, common side effect of Ozempic and berberine. But if you can move past that, then it's a great choice.
Oh, fascinating. Yeah. I mean, obviously the world is full of Ozempic conversations these days, and the positives and the negatives. And again, I'm sure it's as per the specific persons, as you're going to see results or not. How does that compare to then your pound a day and how you offer the injections? And I know also very limited calories, but how does that all work?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I do prescribe Ozempic quite a bit for people, again, who need it. If they do have prediabetes, they do have dysregulated blood sugars. The thing about Ozempic for some people is the appeal of starting small and not having to change your diet or lifestyle at all. So when it comes to weight loss, obviously it's very daunting to, like, have to change completely your diet and lifestyle. It's hard work. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it, right? So Ozempic is that magic in the sense that you just inject yourself once a week and you feel full, your cravings for sugar go away, and ultimately you eat less over time, which leads to weight loss. The problem is you come off of Ozempic and nothing changed. Your diet and your lifestyle didn't change. So they're saying, you know, Ozempic leads to weight gain when you come off of it. It's not that Ozempic is leading to the weight gain. It's that you didn't implement the habits to ultimately change your lifestyle. Yeah. So you will gain it all back. So, like, if you're just going to do Ozempic and then come off of it and think that you're going to maintain that weight loss, very wrong. Whereas my weight loss program, you actually have to change your diet and your lifestyle. So yes, it's a very restrictive caloric intake, but you're taking a hormone that suppresses your appetite and you're monitored. I see you every week and we adjust accordingly if we need to, but that hormone really allows people to feel satiated. They feel energized. They feel great. And at the same time, we teach about portion control, what 100 grams of protein looks like, what 3 cups of vegetables. We talk about macros. We talk about your carbs and your fats and your sugars and your proteins. And that level of education is so necessary for maintaining weight loss. Right. Absolutely. So with me, we do the 6-week program and we go through our macros, and then I work with them on maintenance in terms of, like, longevity and how to maintain that long term.
I think too that, like, so on that side of it and wanting the weight loss, and then also back to, like, the body dysmorphia and the hormonal changes, I think that so many of us are so not in the know about actually how much protein we need to ingest. And that's what's going to keep you full longer, but that's also what your body needs to actually properly burn everything.
Totally, 100%. And that is what I'm seeing all over social media, is just, like, the power of protein. Yeah. So a lot of people are under muscled. And so when you're under muscled, you're over fat, you know, in quotations, where the body composition needs to change. And how we support your muscle mass is through protein and weight-bearing exercises. And the more muscle mass you have, the more of a metabolically active body you have. So you're burning more calories at rest when you have more muscle mass and when you're eating more protein. So women typically need 30 grams of protein per meal, depending on how active they are, like a pound or a kilogram per pound of body weight, 1.2 if you're more active. So you're looking at like 100 grams of protein a day, which is substantial and what a lot of people aren't necessarily getting, but what is also very easy to get if you're eating the right foods.
Yeah, for sure. I know it is. It is substantial. And I just, for me personally, I find like when I'm going to do like a shake, at least I can, I know I can get like 40 to 50 grams of protein in that shake. So it's like, oh, when I have those days, I know that I am like golden, because then that's off to a good start. Right. But then actually trying to like navigate around, okay, well, how can I get that all in one meal? Otherwise, you, once you start to learn, obviously, where you can get these sources, it does become a lot easier, but it is so hard. And then also, as I'm sure you see, people with, you know, like dairy that they, you know, like intolerances and stuff. So suddenly you're like, holy, now a whole other whack of like protein sources are gone.
Totally. I think everything you're saying, so bang on. Shakes are a great way to get protein in, because a protein powder is 20 to 30 grams. So, you know, a scoop or two of that alone, you're halfway there. Yes, for sure. Dairy intolerances, egg intolerances, and vegetarians. These are the three people that I actually feel really struggle with getting their protein in. So I see a lot of vegetarians, and I say this with love, but a lot of them are carbitarians. Mm-hmm. Like they are so undernourished on the muscle or protein part and consuming way too many carbs and sugars. And so when we're trying to change the needle on their protein, you know, quinoa and beans and lentils, those still come with carbs and starches. So it's very hard to get the protein in while keeping your calories down. You know, I love Greek yogurt. I love cottage cheese. I love egg whites, things like that. But again, if you can't have a protein powder or eggs or dairy, then you definitely can't have those. And if you just have to focus on, more fish and more chicken and more, you know, beef, if you're a beef eater, and the shakes and the nuts and seeds, and it all adds up, but it's the number one thing to be mindful of.
Yeah, totally. Learning. It's all a process.
And I love like MyFitnessPal and tracking macros for that reason. I don't tell everyone to track, but when it comes to weight loss, I do believe it's a crucial piece of the puzzle if you want to learn, so you're not constantly dieting for the rest of your life. Like ultimately the goal is to get off the yo-yo and to stop the roller coaster. So you have to learn about what you're putting into your body. And MyFitnessPal does that so well, because you input everything you're eating and then it shows you that pie graph of your macros, which are your proteins, your carbs, and your fats. And you can just see it in a pie graph very visibly, the areas that are lacking and what you need to work on. And as you see that shift, you start to understand what's necessary and how you need to eat.
And we're creatures of habit, right? So like you do that for a few weeks and then you're like, oh, well, okay, I like that for breakfast, so I'm just going to continue on. And until you need to change it again, then yeah, you probably learn pretty quickly.
Totally. Like again, the decision fatigue, if we're all like just, we make so many decisions in a day, then we want to keep your eating as simple as possible. You and I are probably creatures of habit. I can eat the exact same thing every day. Food is fuel for me, but there are definitely people where food is not fuel. They love food and they're foodies and they enjoy it and they love it so much that they definitely are looking for ideas or else they get bored. And I find that that's a little more challenging.
Agree. And I think that's for me personally also is where I go off then on the negative food train, because then I'm like, oh, I don't even know what I want to eat right now. And then, you know, then nothing's satisfying and then you're grabbing the wrong things.
And having kids around, like, it also is a lot harder. If you just lived by yourself in your house with no temptations around, it's so much easier. But
but the bag of chips are sitting there because it's summer.
Totally. Macaroni and cheese and pizza and chicken fingers and things that like I would never normally eat. Like they're definitely in my rotation. Yeah. And I think that's also fine. It's just the balance for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you. I think that this was like a great conversation and just like having some start off points and, you know, to acknowledge that we all can go in and out of some body dysmorphic stages, as especially as, sorry, the dog's barking in the background, as females and hormones do change. And so to know that we're not alone and that there are ways that we can, you know, get on top of that and understand why, is really fantastic to know. And for everyone listening, I think that if you want some great day-to-day support, then you got to go follow your Instagram, because you always offer some great tidbits, and then reach out to you to come in and get some panels done.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It's true. Just everyone listening, know that, yes, you're not alone. It's absolutely treatable, mendable, fixable, all of it. It's, you're not going crazy. You just have to work on
maybe it's things the right. Brown.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you. And can you just do give a shout out to your Instagram and where everyone can find you at Polo?
Yes, on Instagram, I'm dr.alana, A-L-L-A-N-A, Polo, P-O-L-O, on Instagram, or the clinic is Polo Health. And website www.polohealth.com for all the info about how to call, make an appointment, online booking. Everything is there as well.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in today. As a mom of three, an endurance sport junkie, and an accountability coach, I get what overwhelm and feelings of high expectation can feel like. By getting crystal clear on tangible goals, I will work with you to create personalized action steps with unwavering accountability to ensure you hit your goals. If this sounds like something you're interested in, reach out to me at MomSweatSanity on Instagram or MomSweatSanity.com for your free exploration call. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to share it. See you next week. You can find me on Instagram at MomSweatSanity.